Before we begin, a special word of thanks to Ken and Hillary for joining us this morning on short notice. And a special word of thanks to actually all of Emmaus for doing a little bit of scrambling yesterday. Now, so far in the Gospel of Mark, we've heard that Jesus certainly had a busy time. We're still in the first chapter, if you've noticed. And last week, we heard about him traveling to Capernaum and preaching to the people in the synagogue there on the Sabbath. It seems to us today, of course, that it feels like Jesus must have had to elbow the regular teachers out of the way. But in those times, anybody could teach and preach at the services, sort of an open mic kind of arrangement. But then the excitement began. He was interrupted by a man with an unclean spirit who eventually shrieked and yelled. And Jesus commanded the unclean spirit to leave the man. And it does. Can you imagine the talk at the coffee hour afterwards? Or imagine going home to tell your spouse or friends about what happened. But then this week, we hear about Jesus immediately following that event, on the same day, going to the home of Simon Peter and Andrew. Now, Simon Peter's mother-in-law is ill with a fever. Jesus cures her. And then, in an interesting development that might surprise some of us, and others not quite so much, the cured woman arose and began to serve them. But we'll get back to that in a minute. Now, after sundown, meaning that the Sabbath had ended, we're still on that same day, people come to see Jesus at Simon Peter's house. Some are sick, some have demons. Jesus cures those who are sick, drives out the demons. Both in last week's gospel reading and this week's reading, we've heard about unclean spirits and demons, and we might be scratching our heads in wonder, or simply just shaking them in disbelief. Some of us might say that they are simply something of the unenlightened minds of Jesus' times. Or we might also say that because people didn't understand the cause of illnesses back then, they attributed them to demons. But that isn't the case. They did understand the nature of various sicknesses. And today's reading made that clear because it speaks of the healing of the sick, in addition to the driving out of the demons. Now, a common thread between last week's gospel and this week's gospel is that of restoration and inclusion. Restoration and inclusion. I'm going to ask you to hold that in the back of your minds for a moment. We're going to talk for a moment about the unclean spirits. That man with the unclean spirit in the synagogue would have been forced to lurk on the edges of the gathering because of his condition. He wouldn't have been allowed in with the rest of the people. But Jesus removed that unclean spirit, allowing him to reintegrate back into the life of the synagogue and of the community. Simon Peter's mother, who we heard about today, unwell with a fever, would have been ritually unclean, unable to be out in the community. You couldn't even touch her. Jesus took her by the hand and lifted her up. The original Greek literally reads, "He raised her. He raised her." He raised her from a position of exclusion to a position of inclusion. He restored her to health, enabling her to re-enter her community life. And then she begins to serve Jesus. And that's not just a baking cookies and serving tea kind of service. She's now been enabled to continue her ministry, that ministry that's very important in the Mediterranean area, the ministry of hospitality. But Jesus' work isn't confined to the Sabbath alone. After the sun sets, he moves from the healing of one person to healing another And then the numbers in the story are staggering. After the Sabbath is over, people bring all who are sick to Jesus. The whole city shows up. He heals many who are sick with all sorts of diseases and casts out many demons. The success seems tangible and unstoppable. Jesus' power is clear. Except for the demons, it was a lot of work. In the synagogue, he exorcised those demons with only a word, but now he's more forceful as he's forced to cast them out and won't permit them to speak. And why that is, there's a final note there from Mark that says, because they knew him. That reminds us that demonic powers, don't go away quietly. And that's also a premonition of where this sort of battle will eventually take Jesus. Then we might say, well, those demons, are they just mental illnesses? It's tempting to say that, but I don't think that they are. He exorcised unclean spirits. Jesus has the power to help get rid of demons. And his message of love and justice, our faith in God, can defeat those evil things. Medical conditions aren't unclean spirits. Clinical depression is not an unclean spirit. Bipolar disorder is not an unclean spirit. Belief in God and in the saving power of Jesus might help us as we work through those conditions. But we need to still seek psychological or medical help. Belief in God or an exorcism will not save us from the inner torment or physical suffering that's caused by an abusive relationship. Running away from that relationship will. If we too can name these evils, these demons, we're given power over them. We can become victorious over them if we recognize that they exist. But what are these demons if they're not mental conditions and they're not medical illnesses? I would say losing our faith in each other and the hopelessness that results from that. Racism, sexism, religious or ideological intolerance, violence, terrorism, war, greed, fear of the other. Those are demons that are easy to get into. But it really is easy to slip into those kinds of demons, especially during times of stress or disruption. Someone might say, you know, I was in the hospital, and there's lots of people who are Muslim there who are helping me, and I'm not sure why that is. They don't look like me. They don't act like me. The care was great. We might become afraid of people from other lands or social backgrounds or religious backgrounds, or for no reason other than that they're different from us. We marginalize people we don't agree with. We might talk about those gay people down the street, or about how those conservatives are all the same, or those liberals are all the same, or those Republicans or those Democrats are all the same, or about those Israelis or those Palestinians are all the same. But we need to call out those things when we see or hear them. These are demons that damage us in our humanity. Just as Jesus did, we need to name them, to cast light upon them. Casting out these demons can help us to bring people in from the margins, back into community, with each other, with the whole world. Or maybe it's even bring them into community for the first time ever. And then once that's accomplished, just as Jesus did, we need to take the time to reflect on what to do next. Jesus' words, "Let us go on," speak to his clear sense of call and his clear sense of mission. "It's for this reason that I came, to preach to the cities that lie ahead," Jesus says. So thus far in Mark's gospel, and yeah, we're still in the first chapter, we've heard lots of stories about Jesus' purpose and mission. We've heard about the powerful forgiveness and healing that God has in store for the whole world. And that brings people together. And notice that Jesus drives out the demons, but he doesn't drive out those people who have them. He keeps them. And he welcomes them. He enables them to be back in community with everybody. So within a few verses, this mission of Jesus has taken us from a synagogue to one mother-in-law's sick room, to the whole of Galilee, and by implication, to the whole world. So as we move through this Epiphany season, we've seen the story of Jesus burst beyond the synagogue and the place of worship. For us, we would say, that move needs to happen outside of church, outside of Sunday. And we too are invited to how to reflect on how Jesus and God's forgiveness and healing can take us into the rest of the week and into the stories of our lives with its power. And we too can move on from one place to another. Amen.